Thanks a lot for tuning in. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. If you have thoughts, ideas, concerns, questions for our guest, Dr. Michael Grasso, we'd love to hear from you regarding that. His book is The Final Choice, Death or Transcendence. We've been discussing a myriad of different topics today. The idea of how do we get to that next level for our evolution? How do we make the next jump in consciousness, spirituality, especially when the world is clashing and there are more and more, I guess, issues that are happening between us as a people. I'm not sure where this is going anymore. You know, it seems that as we should be getting closer as a being, as a race, we're getting further apart. We're more easily upset. We're more easily offended. With good reason. There's been a lot of abuse and negativity that's been doled out through the years that we've just made our way through. And maybe it's time to stop ignoring that, but to what levels? To destructive levels that continue to destroy relationships going forward? How do we start to temper any of these situations? And I think that's where a lot of this problem is, the volatility of people and their desires, their wants, and beliefs. And it's all over the board. We'll take your phone calls. We'll take your thoughts. You can also email me, dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. And I'll try to work some of your thoughts and points and questions in throughout the remainder of this next hour as we wrap up the show. And if you like the strange and the supernatural, make sure you check out my show. We're on Monday through Friday. It's Beyond the Darkness. We are the best in paranormal talk radio. All that information is on our website at darknessradio.com. You can listen to our archives. You can listen to new shows. And you can also find out information about our True Crime Tuesday program. It's all there under one place at darknessradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll continue with your calls when we return to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. This is the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader, along with me, Dr. Michael Grasso. You ready to start fielding a few phone calls, Dr. Grasso?
Sure, I'm totally open to it.
Let's go east of the Rockies. We have Moses from Tallahassee, Florida. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Michael. How are you brothers doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for listening.
Great topic, great topic. My understanding is that Jesus was made a high priest out of this order, the order of melanic meaning dark, chi energy. And he was taught this information. In the Matthew 6:22, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Yep, that I think that's meaning the sixth chakra or the pineal gland. Yeah, we all distracted by this technology. Again, the cell phone and children and so much diversity and so much going on in this day and time. And Michael, you are so very right. And I feel your passion, and you are on the right path. That if meaning an individual search for the kingdom of God that's within self. And that's about all I have to say on the topic. But thank you so very much for the program.
Thank you, Moses. We appreciate you listening in and giving us a call.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was a thoughtful comment.
West of the Rockies, Jason in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, David, I think you need to get away from the TV a little more. Then you might not be so pessimistic.
Well, I think what a lot of people are missing out on is the fact that, as I stated to my caller or to our guest two or three times tonight, let me take the devil's advocate side. Let me ask the voice of, what other people are going to be thinking out there. I'm a firm believer in most of what he's saying tonight, but I'm the first to tell you, if I don't ask him the harder questions, all I'm going to get are emails whining and complaining from the listeners of why don't I press him to let him define these points more concisely and get to this deal. So I'm not being pessimistic.
All I know is that when they went from analog to digital television, I no longer watch TV, and it seems to have made quite a difference for me. Of course, I listen to a lot more talk radio now. But I do want to give a shout out to Pony Boy. And then my comment basically is I seem to find that it's more of a controlling influence that starts moving into science. Before, it used to be the church that had kind of a controlling influence. And these days, it seems to be more politics that is moving in. And when science is ruled by consensus rather than experimentation and that, it tends to warp things that go. And it's really kind of discouraging to see a lot of the stifling of individual thought on the university campuses these days and that.
I can tell you that that's quite a valid point. And I remember when I was, I no longer teach anymore, but when I was, I used to teach a course called Psychic Phenomena and the Nature of Man, or the Nature of Man and Woman, if you will. And it was quite a successful course. In fact, it ended up, we had about three sections of it every semester. But I heard from my students would come to me and they would say, you know, my psychology professor told me if I take your course, it's going to ruin my life. In other words, I said, well, you know, do you feel like your life's being ruined? Obviously not. But so in other words, there's an antagonism in the university against, you know, ideas that don't quite fit into the mainstream. And there's also a touchiness and a nowadays that I've heard stories about students wanting to sort of rule out certain plays of Shakespeare because they don't want to be exposed to the unpleasant sensation of some of these characters. And that's unbelievable what's happening. So I fully appreciate your comment.
Yeah, we are becoming an overly delicate snowflake population, man. Everybody is so easily offended by the simplest things.
Right.
You know, it used to be a point where we could stand up, we could say our feelings, we could say our thoughts, and we could have an open dialogue about it instead of fear that, oh, what he said hurt my feelings. Now I need a safe place to go think about this.
Exactly.
We've become a population of giving everybody a participation award. Participation is you get to be a part of it. You get to be a part of something. You don't need a ribbon to say you were there. You know you were there. And if you stepped up and you played hard and you did well, you were rewarded for it. And that's the way we need to go. People have to remember, and we're not doing anybody any favors mollycoddling everybody. We've got to let people remember that you need to have something to strive for. You have to have true goals. You have to have a real place. And if you don't, we're going to end up with a meaningless society of a bunch of ne'er-do-wells just wandering around, bumping into each other, playing Pokemon Go because they have no real desire to accomplish anything in their lives because it might be hard out there. Their feelings might get hurt. And we're not doing the youth of today any good by allowing that to continue. And I'm a father now of eight of my own, three with stepchildren, and it's a fine line, man. You have to be careful how you walk that line, but you've got to teach kids that there are repercussions to your actions. And whether it's standing up or sitting down and being quiet, there are repercussions. And what do you want to be a part of? The evolution, the revolution, or just fading away into obscurity? And I think that's where people are starting to get lost nowadays, is they'd rather sit by and watch things go by instead of being a part of the story, being a part of the action.
Well, that's for sure. With the smartphone, you have like the universe in your back pocket, but you're really not in touch with things just by staring at a little a smartphone. And and this business about the timidity and the touchiness and this whole talk about, oh, I have to have a safe place before I can talk, it seems to me the complete opposite. That what we need is openness, frankness, and willingness to confront unusual and even dangerously upsetting ideas. Because without confronting those realities, we're just going to, not flourish, not reach anything remotely resembling our human potential. Struggle, conflict has a place, but it can be done in a way that's civil and civilized at the same time.
I agree. Let's go. We've got wild card line five, Cornelius from Alexandria, Louisiana. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave and Michael, and Cornelius, of course, a biblical name. I'm the God, Guns, and Gold man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beans man. I'm with George Norrie's Army. This is my question for you, gentlemen. I'm a pretty much a Bible scholar and stuff, and I know bad things are getting ready to happen to us because we've turned against God with abortion, homosexuality, and all like that. So I'm glad, Mr. DeGrasso, that you're trying to say that we need to come out of our shell and stuff like that. But if we don't turn back to God, not that we hate the sinner, but we hate the sin. And I see problems from just like Israel when Israel turned against God. The key to it is we've got to turn back to God. But if we're not willing to, then we're headed for either some type of civil war or some type of race war or even nuclear war. So, gentlemen, God bless you, and I'd just like to hear your comments.
Well, yeah, I would like to react to what you just said. Sir, I think in the general idea where I would completely agree with you is that we have become increasingly, if not explicitly, implicitly, a grossly materialistic society. I don't worry too much about homosexuality and all of that stuff that you just cited, because I think that people should be entitled to love one another in whatever way that is suitable to them. But apart from that, I would agree with you that we are cut off and detached, needlessly, wrongfully detached from a higher consciousness, a wider, a greater mind. You could call it the divine mind. You could call it the spiritual reality, whatever terminology is suitable. But again, we have to be open-minded and allow for different conceptions of religiosity in order to, you know, make it through this great crisis that we're going through. But undoubtedly, it seems to me that you are right in pointing out the narrowness and the gross materialism of our culture, revealed in so many ways, on an intellectual level, on a consumeristic level, where there's simply no room for the soul, for imagination, for feeling, for sensitivity to other human beings, to awareness of suffering. The selfishness of people in living in a consumerist society who's thinking all the time about themselves is just not healthy for the culture at large or for the individual. So, yeah, we got to open up our minds to a wider realm of spiritual and a reality. That's the first step. And toward any kind of solution to this great problem we're talking about.
KB emails in and says, I think as a planet, we're just too divided to come together in the sense that we are going to transcend into a higher state. I mean, look at the crime still going on, homeless crisis, at least here in California, the uncivilized world, people too caught up in their secular lives to even think about transcendence or anything like that. The only way I see it happening is if we lose our free will and are forced somehow to wake up, like we are androids being reprogrammed and uploaded all at once. That seems pretty unbelievable and impossible to me, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's an interesting point, KB, but I'll tell you something, that it may take a horrible tragedy, much like what happened on 9/11. There was that window when we all came together as one.
Right.
When tragedy brought us together and there was no him, them, or us. It was one country, one people, one mind, and we needed to heal and we needed answers. And it may be that with what's going on in North Korea, what's going on in Russia, what's going on in the Middle East, that there may be some volatility that's going to spill over onto our shores. And that may be the wake-up call. And at that moment, hopefully leaders will step up and see a time to bring us together instead of a bigger division, Bill.
I agree with that. That's something that is my sentiment. Why I use the near-death experience as my model for transformation, and I even like to use this sort of
rather graphic notion of a global near-death experience. But I don't mean that in any literal sense. But what I'm, the point that I make in my book is that we may have to be driven to the to some pretty extreme states. We noticed, for example, during the hurricanes recently, how towns and parts of the of communities really, as you just pointed out, they've come together under stress and become heroic and be creative and quite wonderfully human. And it may very well be that it's going to have to be a very large-scale crisis before a large-scale and long-standing transformation becomes possible. That's the thesis that I explore in my book. It's admittedly a speculation, but it's based on what we understand about human reality. When you get down to the very bottom, sometimes there's something in us, we revive and we're transformed. And the perfect illustration is the near-death experience, but also we know that people who are ill, illness is frequently the basis of psychological renewal and transformation. So the negative, the extremely negative, sometimes is the key to the unleashing of the extremely positive. And that is the basis of my sort of modified optimism for the future.
Understandable. Let's go real quickly to the phone lines. Andy on the international line from Toronto, Canada. What was your point you wanted to make real quickly?
Hey, gentlemen. Yeah, I just want to call in. I kind of tuned in when you were talking about the religious or spiritual aspect. I didn't get quite all of the beginning of it, but there was some discussion, I guess, about the reality of God and whether he exists or not, and how can we reach that level of supernatural guidance or understanding. And then it spilled into all these other aspects which you've mentioned, and it all stems down to this increased individuality that we have in today's world, and with that comes the negative of individuality. And of course, I'm calling from outside of the United States, but I'm still a North American, and we really pride ourselves on this individualism in North America, especially in America. America loves its individualism. But it's at friction with, obviously, any type of central power, and it sees that as an enemy. And I just wanted to say that this is not new, this idea of fake news or propaganda or, you know, rebellion against a common unity. It's been going on for over 500 years. I think one of your callers mentioned something about church and state, or not necessarily church and state were the words he used, but he saw the division, the common argument today is to say that religion and science are against each other. And this is just something, oh yeah, you know, it's like taken for granted. It's become really an old wives' tale, and people just don't question that. And for myself, I've called in on previous shows, as a Catholic working in the English-speaking world, in the Western world, what I've discovered is that that world has been against me for over 500 years. And in that reality, I have to now question what I've taken for granted. So I'll give you a quick example here with this idea of science.
It has to be quick. We've got about 30 seconds.
It's very quick. Let me bring up the question of Galileo. Everybody, you know, they hear that and they go, oh, Galileo, oh, yeah, the church was against him. Church was wrong. Galileo was right. No, it's a bit more you know, nuanced than that. You need to really look at that story. Galileo was not right on everything he preached. For example, he said that our world that we were at the center of the universe. Well, we're not at the center of the universe. And Galileo didn't get himself in trouble for what he was actually teaching on science, even though I've just mentioned a point he was wrong about. He got himself in trouble when he reached over into theology. He was not put in an iron maiden. He was not, his feet were not burned. He was not roasted at the stake. He was under house arrest, and he was able to move from one opulent residence to another. So the guy did not, you know, he was not eating scraps in the street. This guy was still living a fairly good life, even though they were trying to make him say, no, you need to step back here. People need to understand that in his time, he couldn't prove his points. He was theorizing. And so in And in the bigger scheme of things, the church was actually his benefactor, and a lot of science created the university system. So,
all right. Well, thank you for the input. Thank you for the thoughts. We're up against our break. Stay tuned. More with Dr. Michael Grasso and more of your phone calls continue here on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you for joining me and being a part of my world this evening. I'll be back with you on December 15th and 16th. I want to thank George for allowing me to sit in and have a little fun. We've got full phone lines. Keep calling in. We'd love to hear from you. Our guest, Dr. Michael Grasso, stays with us for the remainder of the show. The next 20 minutes is all about you. Let's hear your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Grasso, with the book out, and this is kind of a revamped version of the book that you released a number of years ago. You've brought in new information, new thoughts. What are you hoping people get from the book?
Well, I guess my main hope is to expand their conception of their own minds. That opens the door to the spiritual, to the creative, to the mystical, to the paranormal. Our culture, both practically and theoretically, is operating with a narrow, constricted, techno-physicalistic obsession. You know, there are people out there now, they're talking about downloading their souls into computers, which is philosophic, pure nonsense. It's more ridiculous than any religious ideas that I've ever heard. So my main message here is we're entering an increasingly dangerous period of human history, but it's also promises the possibility of something really glorious and unheard of. And the potential for that lies within us. That's what I want to convey. So it's an optimistic message of my book, lots of details and stories indicating about this potential, but at the same time, an attempt to get the reader to be aware of how dangerous and dramatic the times are that we are living, and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Let's go. First-time caller line, Cindy from Biloxi, Mississippi. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave. It's really
Hi.
Nice to speak to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I had a few comments, and let me see. One that just comes to my the top of my head, which is as far as the afterlife, I've always thought, and being a Christian, that Jesus himself was his resurrection not proof of the afterlife. I don't know. What would your opinion and Mr. Grasso's be of that?
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. What do you make of that? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that that is proof of the afterlife, or what does that fit into the whole canon?
Scholars who study the New Testament admit that they are baffled about a couple of things. One of them is the body apparently disappearing. And the other thing is, according to the teachings of the Gospels, Jesus appeared many times for many days after his death. Now, whether that was an apparition or a one-off resurrection from death, I simply don't know. For those who believe, I say, you know, that's your choice, and may it liberate your soul and make you joyful. I don't know. I simply don't know. I don't know enough about the details of what actually happened 2,000 years ago. All I know is that Jesus, the man Jesus, was a remarkable person who has introduced extraordinary ideas into history, but I don't see many people living according to his teachings. And when I hear people talking about America being a Christian nation, I have real hesitations about accepting that idea.
But not to say that there aren't individual very good Christians, but as a whole, the power structure out there is anything but Christian. It's militaristic and greedy for money. And we can see that what just happened with the passing of this tax bill. So, I have mixed feelings about the meaning of the reported resurrection.
All right, let's go to Wildcard Line 4. Karen in Southern California, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thank you. I want to say my comment is you're absolutely, it's a fabulous show, and I love George Norrie, a longtime listener. And I want to say you're absolutely correct, Dr. Grasso, about everything you said this evening. And I love that you're open and honest. And I want to say to Dave Schrader that you're doing a fabulous job. It's a fantastic show tonight. Thank you both.
Thank you.
I just want to say to you, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, I just want to tell you, you're both 100% correct. The secret is, which you know and I don't need to tell you, is to be open-minded, but firm in what you know is true. And I firmly believe, I mean, I know this to be true. I'm saying this is a fact. The truth is, we're the same as we always have been in the United States. It's no different. And Europe, the world, we're connected, allies or not. And even though people appear militaristic or greedy or young people don't pay attention or what, all of it's true. But it's been that way forever and ever if you look back in history, before we even settled the United States, when people were in England, Scotland, whatever. The most important thing that I would say, and I would, you know, is that the most important thing that anybody could do, for your Christian, non-Christian, is to listen, look back at history, study history, repeats itself, as you both know, David Schrader and your Dr. Grasso. And the truth always lies, not only does history repeat itself, but what you're talking about, resurrection of the Lord with your Christian, everything is true. And you know, I'm not here to say, you know, you got this happened, that happened. I know what the truth is. And anybody who listens, pays attention, reads, studies the Bible. I studied the Bible as literature in a university, I'm going to say 30 years ago, by an ex-nun with all Jewish people, a few Christians, and I took the course. And I know then I was amazed because everybody was questioning and, you know, the Testament, the Bible. But, you know, the point is, it's fascinating because she was totally honest. The Jewish people were totally honest. And everybody's correct. The Orthodox Jewish, they're my best friends, whether you're black, you're white. And we are living in times that there is racism. There is issues for black. There's issues for whites. There's issues for Jewish. There's issues for Muslims. I'm friends with Muslims. I'm friends with the Christian Muslims. A lot of people, and it's a shame, we are still one nation. We are a melting pot. We were born a melting pot, New York statue, you know that. It's just you have to be honest and true, try not to lie, and it will surround you. Like when you said that electrical person came in your house, it's not a coincidence, and he told you a story, which that did not happen. There are no coincidences. That's because you are open-minded. And you're gifted, and you speak the truth, that was right happened there. And the same when David said, David's open-minded. The most important thing, if you listen to everything and you filter the lies, which is hard, but like you're seeing unveiling all over the world, whether you're a Christian or you're not, you're seeing the covers are coming off. It's been said by very many people, whether they're psychic or they're Christian, that the covers would be coming off as in the world, no matter what country in the world, the nations, that they're going to come off the 2015, by 2016, this is only the beginning, but you're going to see the truth. But the most important thing, no matter what religion you are, what race you are, what you believe in, that you stay ethical, you stay honest, you stay open, you stay loving, whether you have no money, some money, if somebody needs $50. I mean, this is it's the fact now. It was yesterday. It still is. And I live this, so I know it's true. This is the truth, the truism. Well,
thank you very much for weighing in on that and sharing that. I appreciate all of your points. East of the Rockies, we have Zach in Houston, Texas. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I've been doing a lot of pondering lately, and I've been reading the Bible and the Quran, and I've come to this conclusion, my own conclusion, my own theory, and I think that God is within every single one of us. I think God is the higher consciousness of the universe. That's what he explains to us in every single teaching, that we have to be good and love one another. And religion has been utilized as a weapon, I think. Religion, if you're a religious person, and I'm not saying that every religious person is wrong or it's a bad person, but I think that it's utilized in masses, and they use it as a weapon to guide us away from that true message that all the prophets gave us, which was to meditate within us and have a relationship with that higher consciousness that's within us, which created us to his image, to imagine it and create, which makes us all God. I am.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the insight on that. Let's go west of the Rockies. McKinley in Sacramento, California. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
Thank you, Dave. I just wanted to add to the doctor's comments. Reality is all inclusive. It consists of far more than what is going on, all the goings on this single little planet that exists amidst in the galaxy that consists of over 200 to 400 billion stars. And we have reason to believe that a sun from one of those systems visited this planet centuries ago and was actually, some of the religious people of that time actually attempted to kill him because they didn't want any competition with more advancing ways. And we have the same attitude today because religions have actually made a religion out of the attempt to kill the Son of Man by their continued reverences of the very instrument that was used to attempt to kill him. But nonetheless, he did make it possible for us to remain integrated into and to have access to the larger system of things, the larger dominion, which he continued to refer to as the kingdom of the heavens, that we are a part of a larger domain. But it's just the attempts to limit our access to that domain and to give people the impression that it all has to be done here by ourselves, when actually we are denying the fact that we are a part of a larger family. And it's only through the integration and access with that larger family that's making itself known to us. In fact, some of the prophets of earlier times, before the sun arise, had foretold that in the latter times, saviors, plural, would arrive on this planet. That's in the last book of Obadiah, for example. And I believe that these saviors are among us. We're giving the evidences of their presence through crop circles and through the sightings that people are seeing flying through the air. They're letting us know that there is another higher dominion that we are supposed to be integrated into and can relate to if we will just stop clinging to those that are resisting the more broader context that we should be functioning within.
Thank you for calling in, McKinley. Great insights on that. Did you have anything to weigh in on with that, Dr. Grasso?
As I was listening to this gentleman, I was thinking of the Renaissance philosopher Giordano Bruno, who had a sense of the cosmic. I think that's good. That's healthy for the soul to be aware that we are part of an infinite universe full of mystery, and we may in fact be interacting with it in mysterious ways. I think that's an additional sort of dimension of consciousness that is worth exploring. So yes, by all means.
Let's go. First time caller, we've got Betty in Amarillo, Texas. I think will be our final call this evening. Betty, what was your question for us this evening?
I thank you very much for tonight's program, and I understand the spirituality, and I have been deep into the spirituality, but there's so much negativity in our world, and I'm having trouble holding on to that positiveness and so forth, even with my own family, that I would like to warn certain things about that they're not interested. And more it's just chipping away at my positivity. Do you have any recommendations?
I do. One thing that you can do is stop looking at the things you've got to do as got to. Start looking at them as you get to. Start changing the way and the parameters that you look at things. Stop worrying about how others are going to be received. And I'll tell you what, if you start living a good life, you start leading positivity and good things start to happen, and they will come to you. The law of attraction will bring good to you. The people in your lives, you won't have to try to convert. They will want to know what you're doing. They will want to know what you've got going on in your paradigm, and they will come to you. You'll either light them up or push them away. And if you push them away, they're not ready for the message that you've got to share anyway. And then it's like trying to have a you know, when you're having a discussion, you're in the middle of a fight with a loved one. You're coming at it from a logical point. They're coming at it from an emotional point. You might as well be talking French and Japanese to one another. You're never going to come together. But if you lead by example and just start looking at the positives, doing what you can to keep your life on the track, the Titanic didn't sink because it hit the iceberg. It sank because it hit the iceberg and it allowed the water in. And if you allow the negativity in, that's what's going to drag you down. Hit that iceberg, it's a bump. You just got to keep moving and change your trajectory. If you allow the negativity to bombard you, that's when all is lost. Don't let it do it. Don't let them win, because your life is all you can control. And if you stay on top of that and you stay on top of your thoughts and your own processes, you'll be successful in spite of what the rest of the world is trying to tell you is right. And that, I don't know. I don't know if you feel the same way, Dr. Grasso, and all the people have thought I was negative all night.
I thought you hit on all the right points, and I would simply reiterate, stay in touch with the divine spark within yourself, and don't pay attention unnecessarily or dwell upon all the crap around you. Just don't do it, because it'll infect you. So cultivate the divine inner dimensions there, whatever it is. However, you know, by cooking, by going for walks, by meditating, by reading, nourish it, and do not let the poisons or the indifference. But don't hate it either, because that'll destroy you.
Right, you give it that energy, and that hate will grow inside you like a cancer.
Exactly. So, sort of a compassionate indifference to their indifference.
I like that, a compassionate indifference. Thank you for calling in and being a part of the show. And Dr. Grasso, thank you very much for lighting it up and giving people a different perspective and a way to look at life and making that change, that it starts within us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it very much.
It's always a pleasure. I want to thank Donna and Nathan back at home office for holding things down and processing the calls for me, keeping it flowing. Tim Dennis, my engineer. My wife, Winnie Schrader, helping me with booking some of the guests. Chris Boros, my producer. Lisa Lyon, George Norrie, of course, and Anson Williams. Remember, alertdrops.com. It's going to save some lives. And our guest, Dr. Michael Grasso. You can keep up with me at darknessradio.com and check out the new program that I'm a part of. It can be found on footprint.tv. Click on the Dark Zone. Is it real? You'll be able to check out some of the coolest paranormal evidence out there. What is it? Is it real? Find out. I'll be back again with you on the 15th and 16th. Till then, be nice, be kind, and I'll see you next time on Coast to Coast AM.